Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here for the next hour on KLBB, the Club 1220. Stan Turn has graciously decided to stay with us for a little bit today. We had a guest drop out today, and Stan is always willing to
drop in.
But it's good you're here today because we, as I've been promoting selfishly the last few weeks.
It's worth promoting. It's wonderful.
Here on Flash at Twin Cities, Thursday night, we are going to be having a fun night. I hope that people will enjoy this. We're going to be looking at a kind of a time machine of video, and then some media personalities and journalists from past and present will be there to answer questions. Mm-hmm. Newsapalooza 2, we did this about a year ago, and if you recall, Stan, every night I do a event. It's always the coldest night of the year. We do about three of these. And I don't know why I think in October that it's going to be a really mild February night where the snow is melting away.
Where would you come up with that idea?
I don't know.
February. But it was a packed house, a full house, Tommy. You did it.
It was exceeded expectations. And we've not got a paper article yet, which is unfortunate. But I was on Channel 4 a few weeks ago, and I'm going to be on Fox 9 on Tuesday morning, sure, if anyone's watching TV. Mm-hmm. But the tickets can be purchased at tcmedianow.com. Newsapalooza 2. An Evening History and Humor, Stan Turner will be there. A name we may remember, Tom Schuller, will be there doing audio, so mm-hmm. you can say hello to Tom. Mm-hmm. Kyle, if you're in the neighborhood, come on by, please.
I would love to.
And you hear this video all week long, every week. You actually can see the actual visuals, and it should be a good night. We have Gary Gilson, Ron Hanberg, Brian Lambert. Ernie Martz from Channel 9 will be our MC. He'll be announcing, like he did for many years of Channel 9. He'll be there. Mm-hmm. So Ron Rosenbaum, T.D. Mischke, people that have been on the show. It'll mm-hmm. be a good night. Mm-hmm. Stan, I always find some video of you. And
I'm sorry to hear that, Tom, but you keep coming up with that.
You know, and I make some promises. I will not be playing any of the Channel 5 sporting event promos. I think we've exhausted those two.
But the team spirit, we're sliding down the hill. That's what journalism is all about.
I may have a team spirit commercial. But this is a video that did not make the cut, and I want to play this. It's actually out of season because it is probably the nicest day we've had all year long. But I want to play this video, listen to it, and then you're going to get an idea of part of the videos we show at Newsapalooza.
Live from Minnesota's News Channel, KSTP Channel 5, Stan Turner, Ruth Spencer, Dave Dahl, and Joe Schmidt bring you Eyewitness News live at 5.
This magnificent snow sculpture is the focal point of this year's St. Paul Winter Carnival. It was designed by artisans all the way from Sapporo, Japan. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Stan Turner along with Ruth Spencer, and today is the opening day of the 101st St. Paul Winter Carnival.
Yes, indeed, and we have a very special Live at 5 in store for you as we continue our Celebrate Minnesota series. We are at Harriet Island, where the lighting of the snow sculpture behind me at 7 o'clock officially kicks off this year's Winter Carnival. Harriet Island is located just along the southern riverbed of the Mississippi. That's right across from downtown St. Paul, off the Wabasha Street Bridge. The Winter Carnival officials stress that parking here is almost impossible, so a free shuttle service from downtown parking ramps has been set up for you. That shuttle's going to run from 5 until 10 tonight and then all weekend long. Now, the shuttle buses are scheduled to stop every 5
I love the ice desks.
You love them because you didn't have to sit in
front.
That's
right.
I think that's the last thing I said on the newscast. My lips were frozen solid after that intro.
You know, we talk about ice palaces, but this was actually a very big discipline. It was a great sculpture they did.
And beautiful.
We just have not had a big ice structure in a long time.
I noticed that.
I think maybe with the Super Bowl, I'm thinking they may decide to put an ice palace up. The point is, right now it's Minnesota. It's 80 degrees today. This is why we endure the misery of winter all year long. But you know, in Minnesota, you've got to find a way to break out of the shell for a little bit. And there was a period of time, and you can speak to this, that the big parades, the Aquitennial and the Winter Carnival, right, was parade wars. The aisle stations wanted to be on there. They wanted to be live at the parade, right, live at the carnival. Mm-hmm. Not so much today, but you guys were putting a lot of energy and a lot of a lot of promotion to those parades.
I put in a lot of float time.
And a lot of float time.
Sitting on bales of hay and falling off, and the people, but to see the wonderful. Right. Friends out there, I call them friends, right, viewers. You know, some of my colleagues forget Without them, we can't do what we do. Very few of my colleagues thought that way. Most of us realize, you know, how lucky we are to have the support of the viewers out there. And to be able to come face-to-face and chat with them is wonderful. So whether it was 30 below or 85, it was always fun to do that. I miss that. It's fun.
But in reality, it had been a cold dust to be doing the news when you're usually used to a studio with some hot lights.
Yeah.
And now you're in the, studio of the... of the tundra up there.
Had a lot of hot tea, I'm sure. It was hot tea, Kyle, before airtime.
Mm-hmm. But you can see that full video at teastemedianow.com. And this is what we find. That, again, it's another videotape that someone had, luckily had taped that. People like to tape these things. And then if you think these tapes are useless or not, we're actually enjoying these. And this is the kind of video we'll be seeing in Newsapalooza, too.
You're the scrounger. You're the video and audio scrounger. You know, give us your week, your poor, your halt. Give us all your video and audio. And Tom Osmond will take them. And you do good things with them.
I try to do good things.
You do good things.
I don't use blackmail. And by the way, you know, not all videos are appropriate for the site. And sometimes there's video that, as attitudes have changed over the years, things, the way we reported on things years ago, it wouldn't be appropriate to watch today. So I don't put everything out there, but it's a great part of our history. I want to be able to provide this for people for free. And the reason why I do Newsapalooza, not only to celebrate media, but to bring people together, to give the audience a chance to talk directly to people like Stan Turner, ask questions, and also to hear Stan Turner talk with some of his media colleagues or his former competitors, which is
fun to see them again. We're at bottom always good friends. You call this Newsapalooza. Newsapalooza, Lyle. How often do you use that term, Newsapalooza? Love the Newsa. Not sure about the palooza.
I have to admit, I borrowed this concept from Chicago. Chicago did the talk station in Chicago. They actually did this. When I lived in Chicago, I saw this and I thought, well, why can't I do that here in Minnesota? They brought, we'll call it in Chicago, they're very glitzy, their media personalities. So they had the people on stage, then they brought in some.
Chicago's such a glitzy.
Well,
brand,
they
stockyards and
they may think they are. There might even be some former people that you might have worked with in that market.
The L.
He might.
Thing of beauty, huh?
But they had bad music. They had, and this was, and by the way, it was all profit for the station. So I thought, well, you know, why not do something? And by the way, the proceeds from Newsapalooza go to TCVD Now, which is my nonprofit.
TC Media Now. TC Media Now, and that's the website.
And also the organization.
Right. Okay.
So looking forward to seeing you there.
Good.
And also, again, tickets, tcmedianow.com. You can buy tickets at $15. It is at the Heights Theater, 7:30 p.m. Thursday. It should be a good night.
Does that cover the cost of the Dairy Queen next door?
You know, here's my caution. Do not park the Dairy Queen parking lot.
Oh, really?
I think they tow if you go. You can't go to Dairy Queen and then go to the theater. That's the warning I've given
people.
Oh,
really?
But there's plenty of street parking out there. The Heights has a parking lot, actually, at the theater.
Just
don't go to the drive-thru. Then walk over to the Heights Theater. Get some popcorn, get a soda, sit down in the theater, and you know, Stan, you've been to this theater many times.
Mm-hmm.
They show great movies there, so I always love people to go to the Heights. People to go to the Heights one time, they go back, they are continued supporters of the Heights.
Mm-hmm. They do. Show great vintage movies there.
Tom Letness does a great job over
there.
Does
he know? Great
so,
stuff.
A big week in Minnesota. We were talking off air about Vern Gagne, and I got to make his name correct, Vern Gagne.
That's right.
And I got to be honest, I was not a wrestling fan. But people in my family did like wrestling, so
sure.
I happened to watch a lot of it, not because I was dialing it, but it was on. And you had an anecdote you want to talk about.
The grunters and the groaners. We had, you know, the other day on the music show, on the All Request show, we had the crusher, you know, do the eye gouge, you know, and that roar, that primordial roar of the crusher. It's part of our culture, Tom. We can't deny it. We can't deny what we're part of here. And wrestling is a big part of the deal. It's great theater, I think, professional wrestling. Vern Gagne is probably the godfather of Minnesota wrestling here. Got to know him a little bit. I think he used to watch Channel 5 a little bit. He'd dial around and watch the news. So he, one night, can't tell you exactly, but probably was in the 70s or 80s. I'm one of my favorite places, meeting grounds, Gallivan's Restaurant and Bar in downtown St. Paul. That's where the politicians and the lawyers and the news types would meet every day, every night.
A lot of cigarette smoke in that.
A lot of cigarette smoke. Yeah. A lot of black lung going on there, no doubt about it. I'm in there one night, as was my wont. And there were some wrestlers in there. I couldn't tell. I didn't know them by name, but somebody said, look, you couldn't miss them, huh? These 300-pound guys there with these, you know, pipes for arms, these great big stumps for legs and the rest of them. And they were having a good time. So I'm talking with some other friends, and suddenly from behind me, I didn't know this was coming, but suddenly I'm in a headlock, and the person who was doing it was not one of the restaurant people. This was a practiced arm, a huge forearm and wrist. I could see that much because the guy came up from behind me, put me in a headlock, and it sounded like felt like he was going to put a sleeper hold on me. I turn around, I hear this laughing, this cackle. It's Vern Gagne. He's doing a number on me, and he's laughing, and I managed to laugh, too.
Well, at first you thought, well, was it a bad report tonight? Did I give
This is a revenge, apparently, for something I did. But no, he was having a ball. I knew Vern. And he was a fun guy.
A master broadcaster, and you have to keep in mind when...
And a performer, too. He was an actor of great skill.
Unfortunately, for Vern, there were people that found a way to even make more profit out of wrestling than he did. Mm. Vern was a wrestler, and I think the guys that came after him in the East Coast that figured out how to make profit out of wrestling, they weren't wrestlers. Vern used to get very upset. I saw him in interviews over the years with various different sports guys, and they would say, the question I always ask, isn't wrestling all fake? That was not the question you asked Vern Gagne, who at 60 years old came back to the ring to reclaim his own title. But still, how many 60-year-olds put on the wrestling gear and go out there and battle, former governors? Yeah. Well, he wasn't a former governor then, but he was part of that. You know, Vern really wanted to put on a good show. You know, he actually believed in divs, that wholesome of good and evil. It was always the good wrestlers, the evil wrestlers. St. Paul Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Anyone from Minnesota knows who Vern Gagne is, and even if they weren't wrestling fans, they know who he is. The AWA, 30 years of syndication, and I think that what kept Vern from making the billion that I think that others did was he wanted to keep it. You're a wrestler first, you're a performer second.
Mm-hmm. Could have been a football player. He made a decision as a young man. He could have gone the football route, pro football probably. From college to pro, or wrestling, and he chose the latter course, and he did very well with it. I remember as a kid watching his commercials on TV. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Vern there, hawking, in between falls, or the wrestling match. Yeah. He's hawking vitamins called Geraspeed. Mm-hmm. Geraspeed will make you look like me. Do I really want to look like you, Vern? Well, no, that's fine. He was a good-looking guy, but, lots of muscles and the rest. But you know, I often wondered, I'd like to send the Geraspeed tablet over to the laboratory for an analysis.
FDA?
I wonder what was in, huh? A little bit of sugar.
I get hundreds of tapes into the archive.
Have you seen that one?
I've seen that one.
Geraspeed.
Geraspeed. Yeah, yeah. When he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I'm not saying it wasn't real. I'm just wondering.
I think it was a real pill. I'm just not necessarily sure.
Well, it was a real
sure
pill. Of course it was a pill.
Maybe make Mickey a little bit, What can I say?
Anyway.
I get a lot of tapes, and a tape I found recently, and you're going to like this, was the Vern Gagne workout video. I thought, well, this might be interesting. So, and this is a no joke, about a month ago, and we'll put it this way. I guess it wasn't made by a big Manhattan firm. I think it might have been made by a local firm. But I popped it in, and there's Vern in his basement. It has to be his basement or his family room, because you can see he wanted to make sure his trophies were out there visible to see him. And here's Vern doing the push-ups. And, much like, Jack LaLanne or any of these guys that came and, they were doing the craft from their 20s to their 80s. I don't think I want to meet up with Vern in a dark alley and mess with him. But nonetheless, I watched this video and thought, well, Vern, this was a good effort, because you're competing with the Jane Fondas of the world doing that video. I might post that sometime. I want to
see those trophies behind him, too.
I'm going to post that. Reading the back of the cover, and I might even play a little bit of this on Thursday night if I have time.
We should say Vern passed away this past week.
And the reason why Vern passed away...
Suffering from Alzheimer's for a long time. And he will be missed, and I mean that sincerely.
Very much
so. Positively. He brought us not only some fun wrestling, but... He allowed us to laugh, too, and it was great entertainment. It really was.
Yeah. And that's what
he would wink at you once in a while, too. You know what I mean by that.
He would, and you know what? And also, he actually did a lot for charity this community.
He did.
He was a United Way speaker, and the first time I met him in person, I was at my we'll call it the mill during the week, and they brought in a guest speaker, and we didn't know who it was, and it was Vern Gagne. This is about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, the room I was in, I was probably the cusp for about the median age. The half were older than me, half were younger than me. Mm-hmm. The younger ones did not have any idea who he was.
Right.
But and we had some women there who were, they were some accounting women that were
of a certain age.
Thank you.
You
would have thought that we brought in Tom Cruise, because they they went up to him and they were petting him, and he loved it. He loved it, and he gave a great speech on just on perseverance and just talking about his workout routine every day. He does.
I would have loved to have heard it. I'm sure it was very good.
It was times where I wish that I had because this is before the day we actually record everything that goes on, but I wish we had it. And then of course met him at the Broadcast Hall of Fame induction about 10 years ago. And then Vern, he didn't leave us, but he was he had Alzheimer's, so we didn't hear much of him. Mm-hmm. And heart goes out to his family. Mm-hmm. And Greg is still very active in Minnesota media. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a cover topic, and I'm going to discuss more of these in depth in the next part of the show here. Mm-hmm. But not to put you on the spot here, but a lot of coverage this week about Baltimore, and you, Stan, were around for some of the riots that we had here in Minneapolis-St. Paul in the late 60s, similar civil unrest. Tell me a little bit about how you covered that in the late 60s. Were you at Channel 5 or were you at the radio at that point?
Radio, but then getting into Channel 5, the occasion of Dr. King's assassination, the north side of Minneapolis went up in flames. A Channel 5 news car was overturned and burned. Brad Jacobs, whom you know of him, just retired after 50-some years as a news photographer. Amazing tenure. He was beat up. It was his photo car that got in the mess. It was just spontaneous outrage. And how do you cover it? Well, how do you cover a riot? I mean, you have to be careful. You don't want to fan the flames, and people say, well, you guys, you throw gas on the fire, you news people. Mm-hmm. And I heard that this past week in Baltimore, too, by our mere presence. People are people showing up to stunt for the camera. I'm convinced that some people are professional agitators, that if it's, the town in Missouri, or if it's Baltimore, wherever, a certain element's going to hop on the rails or get in a car and go down there and raise hell. Mm-hmm. Just because that's what they do. That's taking nothing away from a certain cause that might be involved here. The Baltimore thing, you know what, the county attorney, what do they call her, the state's attorney? State's attorney. Yeah. She's brand new to the job, and she got some charges against, six of the Baltimore police. These are charges. Who knows what's going to happen, but it is certainly newsworthy. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that man made a stop that we didn't know about. But don't rush, this is a news guy speaking, don't rush to judgment. Let us stand back, take a couple of deep breaths, and see what's going on first. Let's try to get to the facts before,
In so many cases, and unlike in the late 60s when Channel 5 covered this, what concerns me as a steward of journalism, I try to be, that we have three cable stations, which it's I think it's business first and it's facts second. It's all business first. It's visuals. We have the ability now to take, and I say that the term literally, fantastic pictures of what goes on. I mean, this is unbelievable photography. I looked for a while, and I'm guessing that the MHS, Minnesota Historical Society, has this video, looking for video or film from the 68 riots in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I believe that they have some. It's not easily accessible. Looking at the amount of angles that we can now take video from and film from, it's tough to not paint people to get too prejudiced in the way of thinking. We've had three or four cases the last 2 years, from Florida to Missouri, where the media or people who watch the media have already decided, here's what the facts are. The media has skewered the facts blatantly. There's national companies that have skewered facts, I think, in that Florida case a couple years ago. I'm cautious to people to kind of already judge. Justice is not necessarily going to be served by these six people being prosecuted because we don't know the facts.
That's my point. We don't know. Their attorney for the policeman already saying when the facts are known, and at this point he knows more than we know, and the prosecutors also know more than they're saying. Let's see how it all comes out. We don't know. The rush to judgment is a very dangerous thing. By the way, I always bristle when I hear the media, as if it's one single monolistic thing. Media is a plural term.
Well, cable news media. That's
But there are some among those who are trying to be responsible, too. There are some who are renegades and not doing a good job, but I don't like to be lumped together.
No.
There are people clearly who are doing wrong in the media, And there are clearly people who are doing right, doing their exercising self-restraint. They are pulling back. They are taking a breath. They are waiting for the official documents to come in. But it's quite another thing for us to go to a prosecutor or a defense attorney representing these cops in Baltimore and put their view on the air. That's not inciting riot. That's not throwing gas on the flame. We're merely reporting what they are saying. So we have to draw a distinction there. But when you start putting so-called experts on the air who start telling you what they think happened, what they are sure happened, that's baloney. Don't do that. You know, when that airliner disappeared from Malaysia, you know, we had 80,000 different theories from experts, quote-unquote, who weren't just guessing. How do they know? What do they know? But suddenly that was being put on the air. Some people took it as gospel. You know, it's crazy.
Well, there's this idea, and we've talked about this before on the show, that anything on the internet is factual.
That's the first thing I taught in my class at St. Thomas University in journalism. You know, just because you see it on the screen, the internet, does not mean that it's true.
The same token I see when you see, this is what cable news does now. You have four quads. You have so much hours of video to fill of talking heads, and you can only anchor the news so long with a scroll down below. So what you do is you get a pundit. I can go over to the gas station across the street, and I can find someone, you know, you're an expert on this. Okay, now you're on TV giving your opinion, but you're an expert at this.
Yeah. Well, if they're put forward as an expert, that's a very, very irresponsible term. An expert on what? When you don't have all the facts, and the so-called expert doesn't have all the facts, then how credible is that person's statement? You have to be very careful. You really do. And there's too much lack of, just plain common sense going on here.
You'll hear, and this is also because I do read the Twitter, and I do read the first run media clips from the internet, but what I also on TV news, they say the country's ever been more divided. We've never had so much racial tension. We've never had so many of these problems. I look back at 40 years of video and film. And if you take even a few years back of history, we have heard the same tagline: the legislature's never been more divided. The country's never been more divided, and we have more racial tension than before.
I think all that being, you know, you and I know that it's been around for a long time, hasn't it? Civil War and before, we know about that. How do you quantify that? I don't know. I will say this, Tom, though. I'm not really a big fan of the 24/7 news cycle. That has done more, I think, to, in many cases, bring forth so-called experts who really are just shooting their mouths off and speculating and really muddling the whole issue, whether it be a missing airplane or whatever it is. I get tired of it. These people, as you know, these people on 24/7 cable units, they're filling time, you know. And I'd rather do the 6 and 10 o'clock news, and then we'll do it again the next day, and maybe a noon news and maybe a 5. But that's enough. We got to stand back a little bit and digest this stuff, process what's going on.
I'll tell you what, I don't
just had Pete Orr put on from Washington County Attorney's Office. Yeah, this guy's not going to run out and prosecute somebody until he's talked to the police, he's talked to the victims, the families, you know, the whole thing. You got to put the whole jigsaw puzzle together. And if there are missing pieces, don't go forward and say, you've got the answer. You don't. Wait.
I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I do not want to be a producer for cable news because we have a challenging time sometimes getting a guest to make it for our Saturday show, much less 24 hours of time you got to fill in. They don't repeat a lot of shows on cable news. You got to find people that are willing to talk at 3 in the morning to a news anchor in front of a screen. I don't want to take that job, I think I'll kind of take a step back and let someone else do it.
I think also social media, as they are called, can be a good thing, but I think I have a very dear friend who calls them anti-social media because it can stir up a lot of problems. It can create instant, shall we say, mobs. And it's provable. I think there was something recently in Minneapolis, wasn't there, where it was St. Patrick's Day, there were free bus rides, and suddenly I think that probably spread like white lightning via social media. There are some good uses to which it can be put, and uses are being put, you know, but good uses are being put forward. But I think there are some others too. There's a dark negative side to the whole thing too, and it just, you know, flash mobs and all that stuff. We have to be careful. Technology could really bite us, and some days it does.
Well, Stan, I'm
not a Luddite either, but
no, you're not. No, you're not. But I appreciate that insight because you've been the media. No, you've been a journalist for a while, and you've seen the innovation of from satellite, you know, satellite news to internet to cable. And I appreciate that insight, and I appreciate you being there Thursday night, and thanks for sticking around.
Well, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. I hope everybody just make sure you know how they get there again, and we'll have a good time.
Hi, Theater, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m., Newspalooza. Let's take a break, Kyle. We'll come back, and we'll talk a few more of these stories that have come up this week here in Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.
Hey, baseball fans, River Valley Ford of Baldwin has your next new vehicle. The 2015 Ford Escape is an SUV with available four-wheel drive and the power and fuel economy you can only get with Ford's EcoBoost engines. Our selection of Escapes is the best we've ever had, and we can't wait to see you for a test drive. We have all the colors and all the options. The only thing we're missing is you. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and family choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
As their menu says, life is uncertain. Best to eat dessert first. At Sail Away Cafe, their desserts are so unbelievably delicious, you'll want to start with dessert. Gooey butter cake, chocolate ganache cake, homemade cheesecake, or key lime pie, to name a few favorites. But save room for some delicious homemade soup, homemade pizza, or dinner of pasta Adriatica. You'll be glad you did. Sail Away Cafe is fine dining with a hometown feel. So gather up your friends and meet at the Sail Away Cafe in Afton for dessert, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or live music on the weekends. Destination, Sail Away Cafe.
That is the sound of your vehicle on its last leg, which makes now the perfect time to visit CarsHQ.com. At CarsHQ.com, you can easily search from thousands of vehicles, including local dealer inventory, all on one easy-to-navigate site. No more driving from dealer to dealer, negotiating at every stop. And if you have a vehicle to sell, no problem. CarsHQ.com can do that too. See site for details. Visit CarsHQ.com today for haggle-free shopping, the best selection, and the very best price.
Do you remember what it felt like to get picked to be on a team, or maybe never picked to be on a team? Hello, this is Pastor Mike Carlson of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Matamidi, Minnesota, and we invite you to listen to our worship broadcast live this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on AM 1220 KLBB Radio. Pastor Sarah Breckenridge has great news. You have been chosen. Music will be featured by our St. Andrew's Senior High Choir and our St. Andrew's Choir. We'll see you Sunday at 9 at our broadcast live from St. Andrew's.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here. And we don't have a guest for the rest of the hour, but I do want to hit on a couple more topics that we talked about with Stan Turner briefly. And two of them, which are, I think, are significant. And I'm going to do the fun one first, because I think that you need to kind of break up a bit here. So Vern Gagne, I want to play this video, actually, Kyle. I want to play a video. This is kind of Vern Gagne's life. When he was inducted to the Museum of Broadcasting back in 2005, this is a video they played before he won his award. So let's listen to this.
For over 30 years, the AWA was considered among the top wrestling leagues in the world. Most every major star wrestled under the AWA marquee, starting in the late 50s. There was one man behind it all, a legend even before he entered the ring. This is the story of Vern Gagne and the AWA.
Vern Gagne played on a Gopher team in the 1940s that included names like Leo Nomolini, Gordy Soltaw, Clayton Tonemaker, and Bud Grant. All went on to play in the pros. Gagne played for the Green Bay Packers, who paid him $3,500 a year. As wrestling's golden boy, he made $75,000 a year, and says even a wrestler could figure out which made the most sense. In 1950, he turned pro. Then in 1960, he formed the AWA, the American Wrestling Association. He's wrestled all over the world, China, Japan, you name it, and came out of retirement for the final time to reclaim the title belt in April of 1986. Then, to top it off, 20 years later, in April of 2006, Vern Gagne was inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Chicago.
It's been a great, great career, Gene. In a short period of time, it's really hard to thank all the people who were involved in making Vern Gagne's career a success. The media especially. I got to say a quick thank you to the local media, both television, radio, and newspaper people, but most of all, the wrestling fans in the state of Minnesota, because they've supported myself, my wrestling, and I do really want to thank them.
Vern Gagne!
There you go. Again, 60 years old, this video, you can see it on YouTube, actually. He is in. He comes back from retirement. I think he came out of retirement about four times. He runs the organization, but he's going to show who's champion. This is from Star Tribune. Legendary wrestler and promoter Vern Gagne died Monday, surrounded by his family in Minnesota. According to close friends, he was 89. News of his death reverberated through the wrestling world and tweets and Facebook posts that paid tribute to the Robbinsdale High School wrestler who went on to make a mark in the world of both amateur and professional wrestling. Gagne, whose wrestling career spanned from 1949 to 1985, defined wrestling in Minnesota according to the Minnesota Sports Almanac. He was a pioneer in modern-day wrestling, said Gene Okerlund, Mean Gene, longtime friend announcer for Gagne's All-Star Wrestling show that originated in a studio near Lake Calhoun. He is one of the first guys who became a television star. He was one of the first good-looking young guys, and I mean he was a real babyface. The gals loved him, the guys respected him, because he was also one of those tough-nosed guys. Gagne was a 10-time American Wrestling Association World Heavyweight Champion and was later inducted into both the WWE and the WCW Hall of Fame, in addition to the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, according to the Minnesota Sports Almanac. Gagne, who was a two-time NCAA wrestling champion in 1948-1949 at the University of Minnesota and an alternate in the 1948 Olympics, took what he knew from amateur wrestling and brought it to the professional ring, Okerlund said. Gagne, who took ownership of the AWA, was a showman. He said he was clever enough and good enough to take that into television and market it and create a persona that became bigger than life. He was a stickler for making things look good in the ring. He gave it legitimacy. It was perceived as a real deal. Orkland said Gagne would often show off his cauliflower hands and his gnarly knuckles. He wanted to know that this wasn't a sport for sissies. This is from the obituary, not from Tom Osmond speaking here, so I don't have to use that term, sissy, but that was Vern Gagne. Quite a guy. And, again, a Minnesota broadcaster. Keep in mind, in 1949, there was not a lot of TV to choose from. The public was hungry for TV, and really wrestling and roller derby were two of the first, really, we'll call it reality programming. It was live action. It was not scripted. And they both persevered for about 50 years. Wrestling, obviously, is big dollars today. Roller derby's had a couple of different incarnations, but there you go. Did you know this stuff, Kyle?
No, I didn't.
No, you do. Were you a wrestling fan at one point in your life?
Absolutely.
Every guy was. I was not. But that's... when I say not a fan, it doesn't mean that I didn't... I just... It wasn't what drew me in, but a lot of guys my age, older and younger, liked it, and I tell you, they made some big dollars with that.
Yeah, I think that was funny, the stat that was in there. What was it, $3,500 to play for the Packers?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, professional sports were part-time jobs, I think all the way through the 80s. There wasn't big contracts. You weren't becoming millionaires, which is why so many former NFL stars have... They've had some physical challenges, and also they didn't have the financial cushions that I think that players do now. The NFL draft is going on this week, and they're signing up million-dollar contracts, million-dollar players. That wasn't happening back in the 50s. You were selling cars in the winter and playing football in the fall. Probably make paying houses too. That's what can we say? A sign of the times. I want to, let's do this. Let's take our second break right now. I'm going to break it up then, and we'll talk a little bit more about Baltimore. And I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Minnesota 23 years ago this week. We actually had a riot of our own in the 1990s after the Rodney King verdict. And I have some video. And I want to put into context both what happened in Baltimore, what happened in Minneapolis in the 90s, and we'll talk about that on Flashback Twin Cities.
You know what I like? A good spicy Irishman.
Ooh, and I love a strutting Tom.
Oh, what about Reuben or Rachel?
And how about that drunken Wilbur?
But you cannot forget about that stuffed Molly Malone, because those are just a few dishes at Pub 112 that are sure to snare the senses and subdue the appetite. And of course, after dinner, enjoy a nightcap at Molly Malone's Whiskey Lounge.
And of course, an Irish pub will have all your favorite beers on tap.
So here's to a long life.
And a merry one.
A quick death.
And an easy one.
A pretty girl.
And an honest one.
A cold beer.
And another one.
Pub 112 in Stillwater.
Club 1220 KLBB presents the Community Calendar. The American Red Cross is holding a blood drive today at the Savers store in Woodbury. The Pro Arts Spring Quartet of the University of Wisconsin-Madison will perform tonight at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. For tickets, visit thephipps.org. Tickets are on sale for the annual Cinco de Giving Fiesta for the United Way of Washington County East. It's tonight outside of Acapulco Restaurant in Stillwater with a dinner, dancing, and auctions. For advanced tickets, visit uwwce.org. The Franconia Sculpture Gardens will be conducting tours this Sunday starting at 2. Call 651-257-6668 for more information. There will be a Belgian waffles breakfast at Bethesda Lutheran Church in Invergrove Heights on Sunday. Serving is from 9 until noon. Proceeds go towards a mission trip to Guatemala. If you have an item for the community calendar, send it to me, Jeff, at klbbradio.com.
Advance Auto Parts knows what makes a car guy a car guy. It's the commitment to maintain an engine through the 300,000-mile mark. It's burning the midnight oil to finish a job most guys would rather hand off. It's loyalty, and it's why there's speed perks from Advance Auto Parts. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards, no points, no nonsense. Advance Auto Parts, for guys who love getting under the hood.
See store to sign up or visit speedperks.com for details.
Flashback Fun Cities, Tom Osmond here on KLED. And when I was doing research on the show this week, I did not realize it was 23 years ago this actual week that the Rodney King verdict had been read in Los Angeles, and which followed then was a riot in Los Angeles. Similar sentiments. There was part of the population felt they weren't being served by the justice system, and, well, and then violence occurred. I'm not here to take a position on the validity of the position of either the rioters or the Justice Department or the courts, but I am here to talk a little bit about the similarities of the types of issues we're talking about, the types of things we're reporting on then and now. This video is from Channel 4. The riots didn't just start and stop in Los Angeles. There was rioting across the entire country in heavily urban areas, and Minneapolis being one of them. And Minneapolis, again, we talked with Stan Turner in the last segment about the experience in the 1968 riots, which after Dr. King had been assassinated. Minneapolis had not had a lot of rioting. I mean, Minneapolis, we don't have a lot of rioting. We don't have a lot of problems in comparison to the rest of the country. We are fortunate. We have a pretty clean justice system for the most part. We don't have a lot of corruption. We don't tolerate that. But nonetheless, we are not... We have the same problems that any other urban city has with the disparities in income and disparities in poverty. So I'm going to play this video here. It starts off with a Channel 4 reporter in Los Angeles talking about the cleanup after the heart of the riots, and then it talks a little bit about the protests going on, peaceful protests in Minneapolis. And again, this is probably about as similar to any of the last few protests and riots we've heard about the last few months than there is.
Reasons, calm has finally gained the upper hand, and most of the fighting has been replaced by healing. Thousands of volunteers are helping with the cleanup. People who live in the war-torn neighborhoods and people who live on the other side of town are working side by side to give this city a facelift.
I've been sitting at home for the past couple days just wondering what I can do. Frustrated, you know, intimidated, scared, but I figured I have to do something, you know? I mean, I can't just sit at home. This is my city, too, and I want to take it back.
A promising sight is that black, white, Asian, and Hispanic are working together, even in the poorest of neighborhoods.
The weekend is here. Hopefully people will stay home and just cool off with it, and we won't have any problems. I just hope that it just cools down and we can go back to rebuilding.
Even some of the victims are determined not to give up. Store owner Norman Simplis fought off looters for two straight days, and in the brief moment it took to drive home and shower, he lost it all.
And at 10:30, they burnt the damn store. It hurts my heart, man. But I got one of my bulletproof vests, and I ain't going nowhere. Maybe we can take the bad that happened and make some good out of it. They always say sometimes the harder you fall, if you're a fighter, the stronger you'll come back up.
This big city has a long way to come back up, but after 3 days, it appears willing to start. With photographer Bob Fishnick, I'm Daryl Savage for WCCO Television News, reporting from Los Angeles.
Now we're going to move to today's events in the Twin Cities, beginning with the march in Minneapolis.
It drew 5,000 people by some estimates. Their goal was to peacefully express their rage over the King verdicts. It was a march that drew people from all kinds of races and backgrounds, as Caroline Lowe reports.
Where do we get justice? In
truth. United in their anger and frustration over the Rodney King verdict, the protesters took to the streets of Minneapolis this afternoon.
What we're doing today is we're marching in defense of ourselves. Because what happened to Rodney is happening to us.
Arm in arm, they paraded down Plymouth Avenue. While their words and chants were militant, most of the march was overwhelmingly peaceful.
No justice, no peace. Prosecute the police.
What do we want? When do we want it?
Now!
At the request of African-American community leaders, police agreed to keep their distance during the demonstration. One exception, Police Chief John Law.
Yeah, who brought you down here?
I brought myself down here.
Why?
Because I agree with the cause.
And many protesters brought their children to participate in the three-mile walk this afternoon.
He had questions at home about, you know, the television and what was going on, and so I wanted to bring him so he would understand and know what was going on.
The fight for oil that we don't even have a...
The marchers wrapped up their demonstration with a rally at City Hall. The crowd cheered a series of passionate speeches. And they made it clear that the last word has yet to be heard on the issues brought so sharply to the surface since the verdict on Rodney King.
There's a train coming down the track. It's a mighty train. It's going to be carrying you and me. Ain't nobody going to be able to turn it around. Ain't nobody going to be able to stop it, because it's a train of freedom. And it can't stop until it gets to its destination.
With Suzanne Richter, Caroline Lee, WCCO Television News, Minneapolis.
Even though the protest itself was peaceful, one group that broke away from that crowd created an incident in downtown Minneapolis. About 20 young people stormed some stores between 5th and 7th on the Nicollet Mall, running off with whatever they could. A security guard who tried to stop the shoplifters was jumped and beaten. He was taken to the hospital with head and neck injuries. Police made one arrest. There's no word yet on how much property those shoplifters took.
St. Paul residents had a rally.
There you go. This, again, this video you could pretty much put back in 2015 right now. In the same issues we're dealing with. So when people, I think, on, we'll call it again, the social media, the anti-social media, cable news, talk about this being, you know, some of the most heated times our country. The country's never more divided. We've never had more racial issues. Never had more problems. These things have been happening for 50, 60 years. I'm not sure. Again, I'm just doing a media show here. I can't tell you what the answer is, but the coverage is fascinating. If you look back in 1992, we're still using cameras that are very heavy cameras to get this footage. Right now, you can get any visual of what's going on in Baltimore or any city right now, and you're going to get video of it. You're going to get, we'll call it citizen journalists or just bystanders watching this video. And to me, it's fascinating. I'm hoping that seeing more pictures, seeing more videos, seeing more, you know, what you want to call it, more images, it's going to prevent people from wanting to actually cause problems, cause damage. And, you know, let's all hope that if there's civil unrest and protest, it's done peacefully. And as you can see here in 1992, that's what was done. There was change. The King verdict, again, I was in school at the time this happened, and I didn't have the wherewithal and intellectual... Well, alleged and luck that I have now, but it happened, and they actually did overturn. Well, the verdict was appealed, and the officers that were involved in that particular situation, which again was a police brutality case, it was reversed in a sense, and there was a bit of justice. But that was a very frightening time. I think that this country had not felt a riot like that in a generation. I was in Baltimore 2 months ago, and you wouldn't have been able to tell me that 2 months from now where I was driving and where I was parking my car was going to be problems. I don't know. You know, I was there for a different purpose, and I don't remember one neighborhood or the next. I was only there for a day. Didn't think that was going to be a place that was going to have so much challenge right now, but as you can see, things can change quickly. This is an article from the LA Times on Minneapolis. After the riots, search for answers. Angry mob dispersed in Minneapolis. Unrest. Police asked black leaders to help quiet a crowd of 500 people after false rumors spread that a white had shot a black youth. This is from May 9th, 1992. Again, I'm reading this from the LA Times. This is not my own personal take on this. I'm just reading you an article here. Police gangs and black community leaders worked together to quell a crowd angered by the shooting of a black teenager and by false rumors that his assailant was a white or a police officer. About 500 people gathered at the scene of the shooting Thursday night. They scuffled with police, beat a television news crew, and shot a minister. But the crowd was dispersed by neighborhood activists, ministers, and gang leaders who took to the streets at the request of police. We've had a very good test, and it worked. Deputy Police Chief Dan DeBorca said Friday at a news conference with black leaders. The message to our community is this. We want all this nonsense and violence to cease, said Spike Moss, director of the Youth Service Agency, who helped quiet the disturbance. The 14-year-old boy that was shot while riding his bicycle across the lawn of a North Minneapolis home, witnesses said he was shot by the homeowner, who was black. But soon after the shooting, rumors circulated that the scene, that the assailant was white. Flyers appeared elsewhere in the city bearing the slogan, "No Peace, No Justice," and saying a police officer had shot the youth. Relations between blacks and the police had been bad in recent months because of several incidents of police use of force against black suspects, including a fatal shooting in February. Moss gathered gang leaders, ministers, other neighborhood leaders at DeBorca's request to calm and break up the crowd. "Our community is a powder keg, like all of our communities across the country since the Rodney King incident," Moss said Friday. "The least sight of law enforcement, regardless of how it got started, we could lose control." Robert Coins, 66, was arrested and charged Friday with second-degree attempted murder and first- and second-degree assault in the shooting, according to the Hennepin County. The man's house was firebombed about an hour after the shooting. An unnamed boy was listed in serious condition with multiple gunshot wounds. A television reporter who was beaten was in satisfactory condition with a broken nose and concussion. Her cameraman was treated for a concussion and later released. A minister who said he had gone to the area to help restore order was shot in the leg and a finger. There you go. These things happened. They happened this week. They happened 15 years ago in our community. And it is, it's all up to all of us to make sure that we question stories. Make sure if you get a story, you read headlines, you're watching coverage, take a step further. When I was watching this week, the Baltimore coverage, there's three channels. I was watching three cable channels because it wasn't covered locally. And I guess what surprised me was it was top coverage on the cable channels and not on the national media, not on the network media. And all three stations I flipped through had a different take on it. They had a different angle on it, which would make you wonder, okay, well, where's really the facts coming from all this? What's really happening? If you look at Baltimore as a whole, how much Baltimore is really in danger right now? And if you look at the images, you would think that the whole town was burning down. And again, I'm just a bystander. I thought that the coverage was, as I talked to Stan Turner about in the first segment, I think it was done for attention. It kept me watching, because if you watch anything, there'd be a wreck on the road, or if you watch something if it bleeds, it leads. I think that watching some of the officials speak and watching, it's almost like a Hollywood movie sometimes, is you're watching coverage that's happening live, but it's being edited together any way that a theatrical picture is. So not to lecture. Again, I can be taken in as anyone else can and formulate opinions. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're too quick. But for example, in this article here from 23 years ago, the facts are not what they seem to be. And you know, you have to listen to what the grand jury says and what the officials say, what the investigations come out for. And that is that. Kyle, did you watch any of this coverage this week? What was your take on it? You're a little younger than me. What do you think?
You know, I really haven't watched a whole lot of it. I try not to watch a whole lot of the news, because for whatever reason. But it's kind of like you said. You know, it seems to kind of repeat itself.
Yeah. With 24 hours of coverage, you have to air. You actually have to fill in. And we were, you know, we had a guest cancellation today, which is why I'm expounding so much information today. But for me to find an hour of time on Saturday to get someone to appear, sometimes it's challenging. I'm trying to picture a producer's job of trying to cover 24 hours of time. And you either can play video, or you can play a live shot like they did on a couple of the cable channels, or you have to have original content. Well, the original content part is hard. And we were talking before, you get experts on. You get a quadrant of four different people on. You get people that were media people in the past. I know it's always kind of funny. If you were part of the media, if you were part of the story, whether you were a detective I remember when Captain Sully, who landed the plane in the Hudson River. And all of a sudden, every plane incident that happened 2 years later, here's Sully. Well, Sully was a hero and landed a plane one time. And then Sully became a media star, which is great. Hopefully Sully made some money. Hopefully he wrote a book and he's, you know, making speeches. But that just goes to show the type of the speed in which you become an expert. I think Sully's pretty much an expert at landing a plane. Do I think that Sully knows the ins and outs of the airline industry? I don't know. Maybe he does. But that's when you got to caution people what they say. And I hear people say, well, I heard on cable, I've heard on this show from this guy. So who's this guy? What does he know? Where did he come from? Okay, should we take it back a step again before we go today? I want to play a couple different clips here. It's Twins time, and it's finally good enough to go to an outdoor baseball game. And this is a very interesting promotion that aired in 1980. This is get a free stocking cap at the Twins game for the first few fans. So I'm going to play this clip here, and let's take a listen.
Don Cassidy, stocking caps at baseball season?
You got it, Ray. Sure, it's different, but Calvin likes our fans comfortable the year-round.
Ray Scott for CCO-FM Radio to say we're delighted to join with the Twins in one of their great events, Stocking Cap Day at the Met.
We've been excited about this idea since last winter because it's really the first opportunity for us to honor kids and adults alike, meaning the first 20,000 of any age will receive this gift.
Then the Twins and the Tigers will cap the day.
Does that mean like us pulling the wool over their eyes, Ray?
We'll see you Sunday at the Met.
Those caps are still out there. You walk down the skyway down to Minneapolis. It's a red, white, and blue cap. They're still existing. They must have made some very good material for a free cap. In fact, there's Jack Stallman, my friend from who will be co-hosting Newsapalooza. He has it still. He said he wore it on Thursday night. One more clip here. It is spring cleaning time, and I was at the mill this week, and all of a sudden I heard this banging at the office, and I'm looking out there, and there's a guy watching the window. I'm on the 11th floor of my building. So you actually wonder, what is the story behind the window washers downtown? Well, guess what? I got some video. This is from 1980. We'll have time for this. This is the IDS window washers from 1979.
We're 775 feet above the street in downtown Minneapolis on our way down the side of the IDS tower. We're on our way to work with Brad and Frank and Steve. They're window washers. They're part of an elite group. There are only about 50 professional window washers in the Twin Cities. One can understand why people wouldn't be clamoring to do this kind of work, but they seem to love it.
Like I always tell everybody, it's a natural high, you know? You're up way up in the air, and people don't believe you when you first tell them. They think, oh, well, you're crazy. It's just kind of different.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, it helps.
Frank Dutcher claims to have cleaned every window in Minneapolis in the 25 years he's been in the business, and he sure likes cleaning the IDS Tower.
It's a prestige job to be able to say that you're, cleaning windows on the biggest building in Minneapolis.
And it's a big job. There are 90,000 windows. The crew goes completely around the building three times a year. Each time takes over 2 months. I suppose there are some pluses. The ride is spectacular. The view is terrific. People you pass by are always excited to see you. You can see eye to eye with passing aircraft. There's certainly plenty of fresh air. But aren't these men afraid?
There's a saying in the window cleaners that at 5 or 50, it doesn't make no difference. It just takes you longer to hit.
They must do it for the love of it all, because the pay scale puts window washers at the bottom of the skilled professions. But here they are, every day, hanging hundreds of feet above the street, washing windows. I've flown an airplane, bumped down the side of a mountain on a tube, had a python wrap around me, ridden an elephant, gone swimming with the whales, driven at 180 miles an hour in a race car. But this is the silliest thing I've ever done to get a news story. With photographer Howie Woodall, Nancy Nelson, News Center 11.
If it all ever doesn't go well for you, Kyle, there's always window washing.
I don't think I could do that.
Are you a heights guy?
No. I cannot stand heights.
I don't mind heights. When I'm on a cage with a harness on me washing windows, which I don't like doing anyway, not so much. Good show today. Thank you for the discussion. We'll be back next Thursday. Thursday, Newspalooza 2, live, Heights Theater, tcmedianow.com. Get your tickets. Hope to see you there. And then next Saturday, we'll be here live. So, till then, have a good week.